Show. It's my, well, it's me, Brianna Morrell, filling in for Alex right now. Buckle up, folks. We have more hours heading your way, and I got a lot to talk about. Audrey Pruitt will be joining in a few minutes. It's all about the Save America Act, as many of you guys know. Requiring voter ID is very controversial. That is, for those who are likely stealing our elections. They're not very happy with the requirements of verifying whether or not you're an American citizen. I wonder why that's the case. I wonder why. We just actually got a clip, too. We'll play it for you in just a second. Susan Collins is not really trying to commit to requiring that voter ID. So I'll bring you the latest on that front in just a moment. Plus the latest on the Fed. It's a train wreck. We'll also be talking with Dan Ball in this next segment as well. Dan Ball is a host over at OAN. And, you know, Dan's like me. Dan knows how garbage the corporate media is, both of us. I always call myself a corporate media reject, obviously, because they don't like me too much. But we're going to sound off. We're going to celebrate a little bit. CNN has seen a massive collapse in their ratings over the last few years. And we're talking like more than half of their viewership has departed. Might have to do with the fact that they're no longer playing at airports when they were forcing that onto the American people. Now they don't have, well, now we have options, thankfully. But we'll talk about that with Dan Ball in a little bit. Plus, we'll also talk about how one of the key fighters in the election integrity fight, well, he's getting now CIA briefings in regards to the election fraud that has taken place in this country. And it's got a lot of people very upset. Why? Well, because, well, his name is Kurt Olson, and he is a incredible attorney and a fighter, and they don't like that. They don't like that at all. Plus, we'll be also be talking with Ken Silva as well. He is one of the editors over at Headline USA. He does an incredible job at document diving, and he's got an incredible new Twitter thread that I want to make sure we dive into because it has a lot to do with our federal government not telling us the truth on a lot of key issues. So he's breaking down the very latest on that front as well. So we'll get that to you too, folks. And we'll talk about it a little bit. We'll talk about it at depth later, but I'm really not buying this story. Now, as many of you guys know, I also, not only am I a host of the American Journal, but I'm also a Pentagon reporter. And so yesterday on the American Journal, we broke a story for you. We got we got word back from the Pentagon directly while I was on air regarding the so-called Mexican cartel drones that were apparently looking to, I guess, possibly target us here in the United States. The story really didn't add up to me. And now there's a whole rebuttal and a pushback on it. And the Pentagon won't give me comment on it. They are refusing to do just that. I'm going to break down that story, though, because for me, it's concerning for a lot of reasons. But I don't think it's the cartels. If I had to put on my conspiratorial hat right now, I tell you, I don't think it's the cartels that were sending their drones over to the El Paso airport. Remember, too, folks, I mean, they literally yesterday morning, actually, they told us all that for 10 days, there was going to be no commercial airlines going in now the El Paso airport. When have you ever seen that over a drone? It's not adding up. Doesn't make sense to me. I'll break down the very latest. Also, good news, BBC. Well, they tried getting that Trump lawsuit tossed, but an American judge just said, no. This defamation lawsuit, it's a $10 billion defamation lawsuit against BBC in regards to an edited J6 speech that President Trump gave. It's still going to go on. And it's not getting tossed out of court. The judge just a few hours ago decided to rule on that and also sets the trial date to February of next year. Very, very impressive, folks. You got to hold these people accountable. And the best way to do so is to sue them into oblivion and to make sure that they stop pushing out false news. And so this is a major, major win for the American people. Folks, if you haven't done so already, make sure you download the Alex Jones app right now. It's how you stay in touch with us, and I want to recommend our entire audience to do just that. So make sure you head on over, whether you have an Android or an iPhone, download the app right now. We also have a mega sale going on right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. If you're a fan of what we do here, you got to head on over right now and make sure you take advantage of the sale. It's 52% off site-wide. It's the mega sale going on right now. It's only going to last for a few days. So you got to head on over to the shop and stack up on your favorite supplements. Maybe you're a big fan of our t-shirts, hats, and hoodies. Well, now it's time to head on over to the Alex Jones store and make sure you snag those. When you support us, you help keep us on air. We support you by giving you these healthier options. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
One of the most important things to me in my life is to get things right and to tell the truth and to be accurate. That's why they say Alex Jones is right. But it's not just our news, our prediction, our information that are incredibly accurate. It's the products. Out of all the amazing supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, our methylene blue, ultramethylene blue, is the best you're going to find on the market. It's so good for your body. Instant, clean, amazing energy. You owe it to yourself, if you sat on the fence, to go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get ultramethylene blue. And believe me, you are going to want to reorder it again. We have an 84% reorder on that product. No other supplement anywhere has anything even close. That is how amazing it is. Secure your ultramethylene blue now at thealexjonesstore.com. And thanks for keeping us on the air.
Repeat what you said is happening. You feel in the...
I feel like that stuff in my fingers. I feel tingling fingers.
There's the camera. Blast them with full power right there. Ah! Yeah!
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen. Right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show. It is Brian Morella filling in. I feel like I'm talking third person. Filling in for Alex today. Buckle up, folks. We've got a lot to unpack in this hour. So many stories that the mainstream media is not going to tell you about, but you know, we don't hide from the truth. And that's what we're going to do just now. Folks, I know a lot of people are talking about the Save America Act. And obviously yesterday, if you saw, it passed obviously in the House. And this has happened several times, but we know that the members in Congress truly do support that. It passed 218-213. Now, Democrats and one Republican aren't really fans of this. What this would require is individuals to prove that they are U.S. citizens to participate in our elections. Apparently, that's very controversial. But 83% of Americans truly do support this, and that's both Democrats and Republicans. So why is it that local lawmakers or federal lawmakers are the ones who are trying to push back on all of this? Well, that's obviously deeply concerning. Folks, it's heading its way to the Senate, and there's a lot of opposition there, so we don't know if it's going to pass. But I want to play clip 15 for you, because just a few moments ago, Senator Susan Collins refused to commit to whether or not she's a yes vote for the Save America Act. Take a listen.
Now that the Save America Act has passed the House, can we count on you to support it in the Senate?
I'm looking at it. The House made some significant changes. For example, you would not have to prove citizenship every time you vote. That's a good change. Makes sense to have a requirement the first time when you register, but not every time. I've long supported voter ID. There's some issues on what are federal and what are state. So I'm still this is a work in progress, but I've got to go to the health committee.
A work in progress. No. It should just be an automatic yes vote. Joining me to discuss is Audrey Pruitt. He's a managing partner at Spencer Pruitt, and he's also a political strategist. And he joins me now to discuss. Audrey, it's a pleasure to have you on the show today. I'm sitting back and watching as a lot of individuals over in the Senate are refusing to say whether or not they are a yes vote for just simply asking voters to prove that they're American citizens. Your reaction?
First of all, my reaction is it is time for her to retire. She sounds like she is two steps from the grave. Yes. I don't want to offend anybody. I apologize.
That's okay. Perfect platform for that.
She won't be voting again because she can't even read the ballot. So at any rate, it should be a simple yes vote, but we know that it's politics. Yeah. And so we got to be real. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, she's got to get elected again. And we would rather have her elected than a Democrat opponent. So if she has to shuffle her feet a little bit, if she has to lean to the side one way or the other, let her do it so she can win the seat. That's so, because if we don't, if she doesn't do that, she'll get out of office. A primary challenge will run way to the right. They won't get elected. Mm-hmm. And then you'll have a flip Senate. So that's the political reality. I know a lot of the audience members don't like to hear it, but at the end of the day, you got to win seats. And that's what separates, by the way, true strategists and politicians from those that just cosplay.
Yeah, well, Audrey, I want to get to this point too, because a lot of Democrats are pushing back, and This gives me a good chuckle, but they're saying that the reason why they don't support the Save America Act is because it would discriminate against women. Take a listen to clip 10 and how Senator Warren tried to make that argument.
The SAVE Act is expected to be brought this week to the floor for a vote. Do you support voter ID for elections?
Well, it depends on what you mean by voter ID. When you want to say that everyone has to produce a birth certificate, including women whose married names are not on their birth certificates, that creates a real problem for me.
Well, isn't that just one of the first steps in getting married is getting a new ID?
Actually, it's not getting a new birth certificate, because part of what the SAVE Act does is it says most driver's licenses around the country won't work as an ID. And that creates a terrible problem.
But you need an ID to do just about anything in America. Shouldn't you need one to vote in elections?
You don't need a birth certificate. I hope you know that.
Thank you.
I hope you know that. Oh, man. If man would never get away with talking to another female like that, they would call you a bunch of names. But Autry, this gives me a good laugh because they tried this at first with minorities and said that minorities can't get voter IDs. They can't get IDs. And now they're all full swing mode when it comes to women. Apparently, women are incapable of getting forms of ID, of getting birth certificates and bringing it forward to prove that they're American citizens. What's the strategy behind all of this? Because to me, it's baffling that they think that we're not intelligent enough to be able to obtain these things.
Yeah, I agree. Of all the people, what do they call her? Pocahontas? Of all the people, Pocahontas should be the last person to talk about verifying who she is at Harvard, no less. It comes down to, for me, very, very simple. Even though it could be rare, even though there could be problems, when there is a voter problem, it's a major issue. So, yes, it's rare. I think voter suppression or voter theft from the ID standpoint is rare. I think it happens in larger groups, but that's for a conversation for a different day. But the fact is, when it does happen, as we know, when it does happen, it's major. Pocahontas is wrong. She knows she's wrong. She uses her ID every day to get inside the government building. That she works in. She had to have the ID. You got elected to the U.S. Senate, and you had to have your ID to get into the building to verify who you were on the ballot. So she's wrong. They know they're wrong. And right now, this is the problem with American politics. And it goes on both sides of the aisle, if you will. Right now, no one has any first principles. If the one side says the sky is blue, the other one says, no, it's not. Despite the fact that everybody looked at the sky and said, it's blue today. And that's what we're dealing with. So there's just no rationality about it. The House should pass this. The Senate should affirm it. Let the couple Republican senators have to shuffle their feet for their voters, shuffle their feet. But at the end of the day, they'll come across and vote yes. Trump will sign it and we can get this through. What we really need to be concerned about is state and local elections. That's what we should be concerned about, where we don't really control the ballot box. And the fact that illegals are voting in California and voting in New York, and you wonder why certain parties can't get ahead there.
Yeah, well, that's the part that's really concerning in all of this. And, you know, the DOJ is trying to get the voter rolls from those states that you were just talking about. Michigan yesterday, I believe, was a loss. A judge just said that they actually can't get their voter information. And so it's just such a mess when it comes to all of that. But I agree with you. Our local elections are the key point to all of this. And that's what we need to be focused on. And I think the American people get that for sure.
I've always said this is so important. And we spend a lot of time on the national headlines, a lot of time on the deep state and the bureaucracy. But as you could tell from what happened in Michigan, as you could tell from Harry Reid, the former majority leader, Harry Reid's process and his, if you will, cartel he had in Nevada, your local politics and your state politics in a lot of ways affect you more day to day than your national political figures. I know Trump gets all the television news. I know people like Pocahontas love to take a grab and Chuck Schumer and now Speaker Johnson. But at the end of the day, your mayor, your city council person, your city manager, your governor, your state legislator, those individuals still matter more for your day-to-day operations. They matter more because when you're trying to expand and there's zoning and there's a bunch of illegals that are pressing people to not let you expand your business because of zoning, or you're trying to do an add-on to your house, but the illegals don't want you to do an add-on to your house, all this kind of stuff at the national level matters. But we need to remember local is important. And so just like you care about it nationally, you need to care about who's voting locally. And by the way, a lot of these states won't get rid of their socialist governors, their communist governors and mayors, until we can get people in there who are candidates who can run an election for Americans and for people in those states. For example, Michiganders, my home state, and get them elected too. So this is not just a national issue. Like many of our issues, this is a local and state issue as well.
Yeah, no, it is. It is. And I always tell people to show up to their even their local GOP, the county GOP meetings. Once you start showing your presence there, they will feel it and they will start making sure to endorse those who are true America First, MAGA candidates. And they need to know that you're present, and you're paying attention. Before you go, Autry, I want to make sure we ask you about this question, because, you know, I recently saw a report in regards to artificial intelligence and how there's a new estimate out that half of all entry level white collar jobs could be replaced within the next 5 years by AI. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, this is very concerning, but we just saw recently, too, yesterday, actually, the jobs report come out, and it did give us a glimpse maybe of more to be more hopeful. Obviously, the unemployment number has trickled down a slight bit, and we're not really hearing much about the Fed these days right now. They're still looking to hold the interest rates. But I want to focus on the AI angle to all of this, because we were just talking about H-1B visas. It feels like American workers are being replaced in this country, and AI and H-1B visas. I mean, that's the big part in all of this, that it feels like we're being taken over. Your reaction to possibly 50% of these jobs, these entry-level positions on the white-collar jobs, being taken over by AI potentially?
Yeah, it's going to further create a distance between those who have and those who haven't. Yeah. And what's going to happen is those who used to have something that are sitting in this white-collar middle will now begin to go towards the end where they don't have anything. I'm concerned about that, but I'm also concerned about what I'm calling the outsource of cognitive thinking. You know, think about a vacation. You used to take a vacation, and then you're taking a vacation, and you would plan it out. You'd plan out your vacation, right? And you'd go. Now you can just turn to AI and say, hey, AI, plan me this vacation. And we're losing the ability to think. And I'm concerned about mass mental atrophy happening, mass mental cognitive decline happening, because we're not thinking on a daily basis. So in addition to us not being able to economically support ourselves, AI is going to come along, and now it's going to cause us to not be able to think for ourselves. And by the way, if you know a great topic, if you know, this is me, I know a little bit about a lot, but there's a couple of things I know real deep, and AI still doesn't get it right. It still doesn't get it right. And so what happens is when we outsource our cognitive thinking, we're going to outsource our thinking power. We're going to outsource everything, our answers. We're going to rely on AI. So it's not just the job loss. It's also us individually no longer exercising our mental muscle. And that's a real danger here across the board. And we'll lose economically on that front, and we'll lose economically because people won't be there to have the jobs anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Autry, it's really disappointing. And I hope the American people could fight back on this, you know, massive takeover right now between AI trying to obviously supplement what we're supposed to be doing naturally. And that's think for ourselves and also our jobs as well. Autry Pruitt, thank you for jumping on with us today. We greatly appreciate your time. Folks, make sure you give him a follow on X. It's at Autry. And you can find him autrypruitt.com as well. We appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we're getting ready for Dan Ball over at OAN to join us in just a second. So let's hold there. But, you know, when it comes to the election integrity battle, folks, I always say this was the one major issue that so many people were letting up on. They were telling President Trump, oh, move on, move on. You don't move on from when it comes to our elections. I mean, what happened in 2020 cannot happen again. And if you let them get away with it, it will continue to happen. And that's the big point here. So President Trump, this is one of his main passions, and it's something that I love the fact that he's opening up this investigation or that he's been doing these investigations into the election fraud that's taking place. We obviously saw last week, I believe it was, the raid on the Fulton County election center. I mean, that was a big one, massive one. There's a reason why they were fired up and angry because Tulsi Gabbard was leading that. She was there. She was present. But now they're getting fired up on another issue, and that is Kurt Olson. If you don't know who Kurt Olson is, I actually had the pleasure of meeting Kurt Olson once at one of the great events that Mike Lindell was doing, as many of you know. Mike Lindell not letting up on the election fraud issue anytime soon. So he had these enlightening, I guess you could just call it like a meeting, but it was a more of a conference where he'd bring all these people who were fighting for election integrity together, and he'd have them speaking at these events. And Kurt Olson was one of his attorneys and would go out there and detail what he's found. And so it's interesting now that I'm sitting here on the sidelines watching what's going on in the Trump administration, because Kurt Olson has earned himself quite the high position. I mean, he's the one who's leading the investigation efforts into what happened in 2020. And, you know, what really has them unhinged? Well, the fact that Trump has now ordered the CIA to give the 2020 election intel briefings to his attorney, Kurt Olson. According to this report, President Trump directed the CIA and other U.S. intelligence agencies to share sensitive, this is the media talking about that, 2020 election-related intelligence with Kurt Olson. Now, Kurt Olson obviously is a fighter when it comes to that, and so that's why they're really upset. That's why they're not happy. That's why they are fired up. Dan Ball will be joining us in just a second to react to the Kurt Olson drama. But they're not happy that Kurt Olson is out there fighting for this. They're not happy. They wanted to destroy all of the attorneys who went out there and decided to fight back for President Trump and for the American people to make sure their votes were heard. And the problem here is, well, they're trying to slap down Kurt Olson. Joining me to discuss is Dan Ball. Dan Ball does a great job over at OAN. And, you know, he hosts Real America with Dan Ball every day. Dan, welcome to the show. I'm excited to have you on. Normally we're reverse. I'm on your show, but now you're on with me. And so it's an honor to have you on here. And, you know, let's just take a second to laugh at how unhinged the media is right now. Kurt Olson getting these briefings regarding the 2020 election. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, and it's not just CIA, right? It's CIA, it's FBI, it's National Intelligence, DNI. Like, pretty much Trump has ordered all the intelligence that our government gathered on the 2020 election, give Olson carte blanche. Mm-hmm. Let him look into this. Give him the access. And wow, are people pissed off. And it's not just Democrats in the mainstream media. There's also some Republicans. How dare Trump do this? Look, he had a duty as the sitting president when this all went down with the election, because let's be real, remember, he was the president. He had a duty then to look into the fairness, the transparency, and the legality of that election as president. Whether, you know, let's say that he was an outgoing president, two terms totally done, wasn't running again, it was two new people, whatever. He still, as the president, has the duty to look into if there were claims of voter fraud. And let's be real, there's been claims of voter fraud even before we went to all the digital stuff back after the 2000 election. I'm old enough to remember that one with the hanging chads down in Florida between Gore and Bush. And there was stories of voter fraud before we went digital, even with the paper ballots back in the day, because those could be corrupted too, which is why President Trump and real Republicans, not rhinos, want to go with same day voting. You got to register ahead of time with proof of citizenship. You got to bring photo ID the day of. We do a paper ballot with watermarks that nobody can cheat or try and copy. They're turned in, they're counted same day, period, end, full stop. Then we will have a free, transparent, legal, oh, I almost forgot one important part, clean up the voter rolls too. And so I say bravo to President Trump, because not only was he doing it back then, trying to get to the bottom of it in 2020, but now that he's back in charge and he's put Olson out there to go look it up, I think it's a great thing, because we got a very important midterm coming up. Yeah. And if there's dead people voting by the thousands, if there's thousands of people voting in different states or voting in states they used to live in but don't live in anymore, which we know that happened, if there's the absentee ballots and the voter ballots that are mailed out by the millions to people that shouldn't even be voting and then they're counted, yeah, we got a real problem. than withholding the House and the Senate. So I say Kurt should be in there, digging it up. I mean, there's been so many claims. Here's what cracks me up, Brianna. The left can make claims during the 2016 election that there was foreign interference, right? That Trump worked with Russia. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you all believe that in the media, and you Dems and some weak-kneed Republicans did. So then Trump's not allowed to say in 2020, there was election fraud, it was rigged, and I got screwed. Why not? Because y'all said he screwed the 2016 one. You see how that works with them? When it behooves them, there's election fraud. When it doesn't behoove them, there's no election fraud. Donald Trump's making it up. Who's this Kurt Olson? This is horrible.
Yeah.
It's all a bunch of BS.
It is all a bunch of BS. But you know what? The American people are seeing through it, Dan. And I wanted to get to this. I thought this was really fascinating. When you look at the ratings of CNN over the last few years, since 2016, they actually used to garner, their primetime lineup used to garner about 1.3 million viewers. Now, though, it's currently sitting a little bit north of 500,000. I mean, that's a massive, massive difference, Dan. I just want to hear your reaction
to
that.
Hold on one sec. Sorry, you said CNN. Okay, sorry. I threw up in my mouth when you said CNN. Because it's not the most trusted name in news.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's just look at CNN, besides the mass layoff, didn't about a year or so ago, Brianna, they closed down that big, beautiful, big building down in Atlanta they've always bragged about for decades. They laid off thousands. MSNBC, same thing, laying off thousands, getting rid of some of their biggest names that were making six, seven, eight, $9 million a year. The days of legacy media are over. The facade that they have your best interest in mind and that they're always non-biased, they just give you the facts on the mainstream media, that's over. I'm not saying that the whole country knows that, but a big portion of viewers have figured out that Trump wasn't just playing political games when he came up with the phrase fake news and has been ramming it down your throats for, 11 years almost since 2015? No, it's a fact. And I can tell you, as a 51-year-old man who's been in front of a camera since he was 18, as a journalist in the Air Force, and then after my four-year tour, I got out, I went civilian media right away, and I've been doing this now for 30-some years. Mm-hmm. And my colleagues at a lot of those mainstream networks, folks, lie to you, period. Some of them might not think they're lying. Some of them know they are and deliberately do it because they have that ridiculous left-wing ideology mindset. And to them, it is the truth. But then there are people, like maybe your local affiliates that work for an ABC, an NBC, a CBS, blah, blah, blah. They have a mortgage. They got kids, a family. They get their paycheck, and they just read whatever's in the prompter because they're told to read the teleprompter. And they don't question, oh, wait a minute, where did we get this story about whatever it may be, about President Trump, about Republicans? Well, it came down on the news feed from corporate, from network. Okay, then it must be legit. So then we'll read it to you. So you can't bag almost every mainstream media news anchor out there and say they're all in on it. They're all fake news. They're corrupt. Some of them just don't look into things. Yeah. They just go and do their 8 hours every day. To them, it's I hate to say a mindless job, but let's be real. They're not activists. They're not left or right. They're just a broadcaster, and they go and they read the prompter. But then there are many that are activists. They're not journalists any longer. And you got plenty of them at CNN, MSNBC, and they're behind the scenes too. They're the producers and the writers. They're the news directors and assistant news directors. They're the people that make the call on what stories are going to be covered.
Yeah.
For instance, the past week, what have we seen? Every network is all about Savannah Guthrie's mom, right? The missing mom.
Dan, that's what's so bothering to sit back and watch, because the average American citizen, if their mom went missing, they wouldn't get that type of coverage. Dan Ball, thank you for joining us. You're a great host over at OAN, and we appreciate your insight as always. Stay put.
Every guest I have had in studio in the last 6 months, I've given our medical grade USP methylene Bluetooth. I don't even tell them what it's going to do. I just say, here, take this, see what happens. Within 15 to 30 minutes, every guest says they've gotten energy like they've never experienced. Clarity, focus. It's like a fog has lifted. Their critical thinking goes to the next level. And that's what the science shows it does in our cells. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect because it electrochemically turns up the literal electrochemical electricity in the body. And so he was here a few months ago, didn't know what it was, known me for a long time, said sure he'll take it. He heard Kennedy talk about it, RFK Jr. He took it, and it was so game-changing. And the last few months, he ran out of the bottle I gave him, so he wanted more. And the first thing he wanted was to take some more before we even went live on air. That's how amazing this is. You want to do the plug, and I appreciate this.
I do. I came in
because you came in saying, I want more methylene blue. And then I looked over when you went on the air. You'd already slurped some down. Your mouth was blue. I said, you're Papa Smurf. So, Patrick Byrne.
How much is the correct amount to put in? About that much?
Yeah. I mean, Kennedy does three droppers. This is really strong.
You gave me some last time. I think you gave it on air. You totally feel the difference. I used the bottle you gave me. It's great. It totally makes it. You can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me, and I came back to Austin just to pick up this pump.
Well, you can always get it at thealexjonesshow.com, but we'll certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules, but we have the strongest medical grade. It's super good for you. It cleans out your mitochondria. Most people get instant energy, like 99% of people, but it's the workout. It's what it does for your skin, your libido. So you've been on it a few months.
I just had that one bottle, but...
And you're saying no letdown. That's the best part. It's not an amphetamine. It's not a speed, but it feels like that.
I see RFKs on it. Yeah. I just used up that bottle, and so for a couple of weeks, I had this great energy, but it's not speed. It's not caffeine. It's nothing like that. It's doing something else for you. So I really...
Well, it skips three levels of the oxygenation process in the cells. It's just next level. It's incredible. And they've suppressed it. And my medical doctor 6 years ago said, get on it. And I said, get USP grade. It didn't do anything. And then our sponsor got this super strong one. I'm like, oh, let me try it. Whoa. I mean, it funds the operation, folks. But I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten our USP grade, real USP grade, Ultimethylene Blue, thealexjonesshow.com, you are missing out. It is so good for you. 99% of people, it's more than that. Like, I've given it to like 400 people, maybe two or three didn't feel it. Some get totally freaked out that they're going crazy. So talk to your physician first. Take a very low dose the first time. You can't take it on SSRIs and other things. It is amazing. TheAlexJonesShow.com. So,
yeah, it's not psychosomatic. It's not psycho. You feel it. You feel it.
Well, I didn't tell you what you were going to feel. How fast did it kick in, and what did you feel?
I felt it by the time the end of the show. By the time I got, the last time I was here, I felt it probably by the end of the show or by the time I got my car. You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus. It's probably like why you are as intense as you are, Alex.
It's made me more intense. Well, I was taking full doses at first. And then working out so hard that I had to go.
You look jacked.
Well, I've cut back. The point is, I only take it every 3 days now because it's crazy. Everything we sell, I want is working and is good. That's what I want. I mean, I'll be like a restaurant. I'm going to serve dog to people. They're not going to come back. But I mean, this thing is the most dramatic, quick acting, and it's good for you. It's just insane. And if I could just get a few more percentage of the audience to buy it, all our problems would be solved. Patrick Byrne was totally blown away by it, as every other guest we've given it to has been blown away.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Unveiling the truth they don't want you to see. This is The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show. It is I, Brianna Morello, filling in for Alex today. As many of you guys know, you catch me on The American Journal, 9 to 12 every day, Monday through Friday. As many of you know, I love digging into a lot of things that the government doesn't want you to dig into. And one of those things has been for quite some time now, which is strange, right? Thomas Crooks. They don't want us to know exactly what happened with Thomas Crooks. And although the FBI will tell you that they've been very transparent in regards to the man who tried to murder and assassinate President Trump, they haven't been. They haven't been. In fact, and just to give background in case you guys were unaware, I was one of three journalists who obtained a document that detailed Thomas Crooks' social media accounts. Now, I reached out beforehand to the FBI for comment before releasing it publicly, and they didn't want to respond. But it wasn't just me. It was also Tucker Carlson and Miranda Devine, who were the three who were given this document. And then after we released it, the FBI came out and said, oh, no, that's false media reporting. They tried to correct what we had put out there. But folks, they're trying to, again, claim that they're being very honest. And so they've been putting out new documents that are heavily redacted. Our good friend Ken Silva, who's on my show quite often, he's one of the editors over at Headline USA. Well, he's been doing some digging into these documents. And Ken, there's a lot of redactions here in regards to these Thomas Crooks documents, which is shocking to me because I was told that this is the most transparent administration ever, but they've redacted a lot of key information. But you have still been able to figure out some gems in all of this. So break down your latest report.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. And I was surprised to find these documents just sitting on the FBI's FOIA website because Director Patel said, I think a week or two, that they've pretty much disclosed everything that they're legally allowed to. I believe this is due to a lawsuit that Judicial Watch filed last July for all the FBI records on Thomas Crooks and Butler. There was a status report filed in this lawsuit last month where the Justice Department disclosed that it has approximately a whopping 45,000 pages of potentially responsive records. And this production at the end of the month just slapped up on the website is only 41 pages. But really got to give a huge thanks to Judicial Watch for doing this work in court and at least getting something out of, you know, trying to get water out of a stone. Judicial Watch, in my opinion, is one of the only organizations in D.C. that's worth a damn. So credit to them. Yeah, let's get into the records themselves. Heavily redacted, but there are a few interesting things in there. Perhaps the most interesting thing that I found is that Thomas Crooks was hospitalized in May 2024. The FBI interviewed somebody that knew his family, and she disclosed this. She said he was dehydrated from an incident, but for some reason, the incident's redacted, so we have no idea what led to this. It's to note that the same month he was hospitalized was when he was also graduated from community college, and his father told the FBI after the assassination attempt 2 months ago that 2 months later that his mental health went drastically downhill after he graduated. So, you know, I don't know if the hospitalization had anything to do with that, but, you know, we got to kind of draw these connections when we're not getting anything. Another really interesting document was a rally goer who was leaving the rally about 5 minutes after the shooting. She almost got hit by a silver Subaru Forester in a parking lot in a nearby neighborhood close to the Butler Farm Show. Again, heavy redactions. We don't really know the significance of this, but again, it's worth noting because it is odd that somebody would be speeding out of the Butler Farm Show, you know, 5 minutes after, kind of with no regard for anybody. It does raise suspicions, I would argue. Another minor revelation, the FBI found a business card at the farm show after the incident, and for some reason they were very interested in the person named on this business card. Again, we have no idea why they were interested in this, but apparently they wanted to look into this person and see if they actually were at the rally. And I guess last but not least is kind of my a topic that really intrigues me related to Butler, and that's this issue of a mysterious van that was found about a half a mile away from the site. About like 9 or 10 p.m., there are contemporaneous news reports where reporters are standing outside of this van saying that the bomb squad is searching it, and it's, quote, law enforcement finds it, quote, suspicious. And then we never heard about this van again. We're told that Thomas came to the rally in his Hyundai. And a lot of people are wondering, like, well, whose van did it belong to? Were there others involved? And why did law enforcement view it as suspicious? Because the bomb squad actually searched Crooks' car around midnight, like several hours after they searched the van. So, again, the heavy redactions, you know, we still need to know more about this van. But it does say that the owner didn't have any criminal history. I think people who followed this thread of the story know that it's like registered in Arizona, so it's from out of the state. But, you know, it's something. At least we've got a little bit something. So 41 pages. We've got, what, 44,459 to go. If they hit this pace, we'll both be dead before we get all these documents. But, you know, I guess it's like finding water in the desert. It's still more than we knew yesterday.
Yeah. Well, a win is a win, and we'll take it at this point. And the reality of it is, you know, there's a lot that we don't know still about Crooks. And, you know, I hope there's more documents that are released and we get to figure out more on how this even happened in the first place, because, I mean, they were so quick to clean up the scene and they were so quick to kind of just move forward and move on from this. But the American people need answers. I mean, this guy almost took out the president of the United States, and that's what the goal was here. We still don't know about the people he was communicating with. I think that's also a key element here. I've heard from sources that there's still an ongoing investigation to those that were communicating with crooks. But again, there seems to be more questions than answers on that front. And so we'll just sit and I guess have to wait. But it's really frustrating, I must say. I also want to switch gears up a little bit. I know this wasn't your reporting, but I thought this was concerning. And you've posted about this as well on X. You've shared the Daily Mail. They've actually just found, and again, this is the suspect who's accused of assassinating Charlie Kirk, Tyler Robinson's former roommates, slash there's rumors that this was his boyfriend. This individual, from what I understand, and it's kind of quite the transition, some might say, I thought this was a trans individual that he was living with. And based on the photos that, again, these are Daily Mail photos that have been released, this person seems to appear to be a male all of a sudden. What's going on in regards to that? Because according to the report, it looks like he has moved to Texas.
Are you sure you're just not jealous of Lance Twiggs's stunning beauty?
It's gorgeous.
So I guess the significance of Twiggs, if he was just the assassin's roommate, that would be one thing, you know, let him live in privacy. But it seems like he was possibly the inspiration for Robinson's alleged crimes. If you read some reporting and even law enforcement affidavits, he was kind of saying like Charlie Kirk was transphobic. He was spreading hate. And, you know, it's assumed that because his boyfriend was trans, that might have motivated him to act. And of course, we have these bizarre text messages between Tyler Robinson and Twiggs, where it doesn't really sound like your typical Zoomer talk, but he's saying, "Oh, my love, I did it for you. And I'm going to try to go back and get the rifle." Some people think these text message might be doctored. I wouldn't comment on that. But the point is that Twiggs is a key figure in this case. And I would have thought that he would have been a government witness when this case goes to trial. But apparently he's left Utah and now he's living in Texas, as you saw in those pictures with his family again. And it seems like, you know, he's trying to get on the straight and narrow and put this whole thing behind him. So I guess we'll have to see if he ends up testifying against his former lover.
Yeah, it's such an awkward situation. I thought it was a woman at first, and now it's not. Now it's a man. I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see how this all turns out. But Ken Silva, you do an incredible job over at Headline USA. We're very thankful. Folks, if you're at home right now, you got to give this guy a follow, because Ken, you're one of the very few people who actually do the document diving. When court documents or other documents are made public, there's very few reporters out there that dig through them and find these gems, and you always do. So folks, you could follow him on X. JD_cashless is where you could find him at. I'm telling you, he's one of the best independent journalists you're going to find out there. So give him a follow on X. Ken, thank you for jumping on with us today. We appreciate your time.
Yep. Thank you.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Folks, you know, I find it to be quite fascinating in regards to a lot of the information we're learning now. Let's talk about what we broke yesterday on the American Journal. Now, as many of you guys know, I do host the American Journal every single day, and I bring you stories that you're not going to see anywhere else. But yesterday we heard that the El Paso, this is how kind of put you in perspective. We heard the El Paso airport was not going to be allowing commercial flights in and out. Now that's quite strange, because they said 10 days. 10 days is absurd. But everything's kind of changed. We're learning more about what's going on here. And I'm not sure how I feel about this. Now, as many of you also know, we pissed off the media because I got credentialed to cover the Pentagon, and I'm still a Pentagon reporter. So when stuff like this happens, I reach out for a comment, and I did yesterday. And again, the Pentagon communications team is one of the best. Between them and DHS, they respond very quickly when I reach out to them. They responded yesterday while we were on air, and they told us that, hey, listen, according to them, this was a Mexican cartel drone that they had to take out. And the Department of War did just that. And that was the statement we received yesterday. And we ran that on air yesterday. But I mean, there's just reports going on, and I don't know what to make of these things. Let's just, I guess, get to the bottom of what we know now. There's like this story that's popping up in the AP right now, and it has to do with lasers. And again, it's quite strange because I reached out to the Pentagon for comment on this AP story because I do like to debunk the corporate media. But they wouldn't give me comment on this story. In fact, they told me, can't talk about it. The Pentagon let Border Patrol use anti-drone lasers before the FAA closed the El Paso airspace. That's according to sources that the AP claims that they've spoken to. Now, again, I'm being told that they can't talk to me about any of this. They're claiming that two sources, that's why I think this might be true, two sources familiar with the situation who spoke on the conditions of obviously being anonymous, told the Associated Press this. Now, apparently, Border Patrol was using these lasers, and we don't know if it was what triggered all of this, but it is quite strange that they did this 10-day hold on flights coming in and out of the El Paso region. That's not normal, folks, especially because, I mean, again, I don't think I've ever seen that in my lifetime. And again, why would they do this all of a sudden? Now, as we continue to sift through all the information that's being put out there, the El Paso mayor yesterday was fired up in clip 7 about all of this. Take a listen.
This should have never happened. You cannot restrict airspace over a major city without coordinating with the city. That failure to communicate is unacceptable. There's probably been drones ever since they've been started flying in this community. So that's not nothing new. So a drone shutting down our airspace, we've got to get better than this.
Okay, so I'm no expert when it comes to drones, but I could tell you something. Something doesn't smell right here. Something doesn't smell right here. It doesn't make any sense. Yes, drones happen all the time, and should we obviously be concerned in regards to drones flying in airspace where commercial airlines are coming in out of? Yeah, for sure. We definitely should be worried about that. But it doesn't make any sense. I mean, why would they shut down the airspace around El Paso Airport and initially said they said 10 days? I mean, there needs to be an explanation from that. The FAA needs to come out and comment on that. So why they gave that specific number? If you want to throw on a conspiratorial hat, let's do just that. Yesterday, I didn't see any videos, though, which was quite strange. I did see one of like the caravan coming around of the vehicles. But Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was meeting with the White House yesterday. And so based on the fact that we know that Israel is trying to push us and nudge us towards going to war or doing another strike in Iran, my conspiratorial hat, well, my sources have always told me for the last few weeks now to be ready of those sleeper cells that were imported into the United States thanks to the Biden regime. So am I believing the cartel narrative? No, I'm not. But what can I believe in all of this? I mean, as we get closer and closer, my gut tells me this probably wasn't even anything to do with the cartels. I'm starting to think that this might have had something to do with the fact that Benjamin Netanyahu was over in the White House. Because what are the odds? What are the odds? My sources have consistently told me that the sleeper cells here in the United States are what DHS is prioritizing in regards to capturing those individuals and trying to get them out of the country as quick as they can. But the reality of it is a lot of these people were brought in off of the government's radar because of the Biden administration. Now, I've previously reported extensively on how the Biden administration allowed all of these illegals to flood into our country. The ones that we know of are the safer ones. But the ones that we don't know about, well, obviously, those are the ones you should be concerned about. What am I talking about here? Well, when the security cameras around the border were malfunctioning or weren't working, the Biden regime decided just not even to fix them. Why? Because they didn't want you seeing who was coming into the country. That's why I always tell you, whatever number they throw at you as to how many illegals were brought in under those 4 years, just double it, triple it if you want to, because the number is significantly higher. A lot of my sources have told me over the last few months as a whole that we have so many sleeper cells in this country right now who are ready to pop off at any moment. Those sleeper cells likely could pop off if we decide to really strike Iran. And so what am I saying here? I'm not buying the narrative that these were Mexican cartel drones that just made their way into the United States. And the fact that we haven't received specific details as to why the number was 10 from the FAA has me deeply concerned. Now, obviously, drones are very difficult for our defense systems to probably capture, to realize that they're there. But they're easy to manufacture. They're easy to make at home. So we've got a massive issue here where we have these Islamic terrorists that were imported under the Biden regime. They're still here to this day. And it's very, very likely if they're sitting on places like, you know, maybe mosques, these Muslim compounds that are popping up everywhere throughout Texas, they're probably there. And they know that the FBI, DHS, they can't surveil these mosques because, well, they'll claim First Amendment. And they have religious freedoms until we legitimately start arguing against Islam and believing that it is not a religion and make that argument in front of the Supreme Court. We're in a lot of trouble. We're in a lot of trouble. So the connection between all of this, I think it's worth noting. We know for a fact that the Biden regime imported all of these sleeper cells. We know yesterday that Benjamin Netanyahu was at the White House. He had a meeting. It was on the books over the president's schedule. I reported on that too yesterday. So now I'm just going to make the connection. I don't think that these were Mexican cartel drones that were heading into our airspace. It just doesn't seem to make any sense. And until the FAA, until the Pentagon could actually detail specifically what's going on, which they can't do for national security issues, is what they're going to throw your way. I'm not buying that this was the cartel. I'm not buying it. And this video that you're seeing on your screen right now, these are the illegal invaders who went through our border and went through our security that we had obviously set up there. Now, who were the individuals who were going undetected? We let these animals into our country. Look at them. They have zero respect for our law. And the Biden regime just allowed them to do what they wanted to do. Allowed them to attack our agents. Allowed them to attack our country. Folks, we have a massive problem here. And we know that if Israel gets their way, I could promise you, if we do another strike in Iran, it's not going to go well. It's just not. Hezbollah is literally, I mean, I think, according to my sources, that they are here. But as many of you guys know, based on other reports, they are very active in Venezuela. Very active. And the Venezuelans have been giving them passports so they could get into any country that they want. And it would go undetected because they're fake passports. They are lying to whoever they want to lie to. We should all be on high alert. You should all be deeply, deeply concerned. All right, let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk about the media and how garbage the corporate media is. The FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, is now warning Apple in a letter that they might be actually violating the consumer protection laws by how partisan their coverage is. I love this. They just received that letter. And it's interesting given the fact that, if you pay attention, they are extremely partisan. So the FTC has sent over a letter to Apple CEO Tim Cook. And this comes after an exclusive story that came from the Post, which pointed out how biased they are against specifically conservative media outlets. Now, interesting enough, the FCC chairman, also Brendan Carr, came out and was also speaking out against all of this and did publicly yesterday in a Post say, yeah, we're looking into this, or this is something that we have to look into. See, the media thinks that they can get away with this, and this is the problem. This is the problem. Apple, I mean, they are just one of the many. And it's unfortunate, of course, that they are just so partisan in their coverage. Again, you come to InfoWars, you know what you're getting. But these are the outlets that pretends like they're not a bunch of partisan hacks pretending to give you the news as a neutral news source. No, they're not neutral. They're full of it. They're full of it. And so it's a bit frustrating to see, but it looks like hopefully there's something that can be done about this. And this might have them shifting their gears a little bit. Folks, if you're unfamiliar with my background, let me just explain to you just that. And I want to get this up just to make sure I'm setting it right. The tweet that came out yesterday from Brendan Carr. Apple has no right to suppress conservative viewpoints, is his quote. And he says that it's in violation of the FTC Act. That was the direct quote that came out from Carr. Carr's felt very emboldened to go out there and hold these people accountable. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that. It's long overdue. Long overdue. But as many of you guys know, my background, in case you're not familiar with it, let me give you a little rundown. I was somebody who worked in the corporate media for quite some time. I was a producer. I actually never wanted to do on air. Never really liked it. But here I am. Why? Well, because I was one of the many who were pushed out of the big networks. Now, here's my opinion on the matter. I worked for Fox. I actually worked there twice. I worked back, I believe it was 2018, 2019-ish, and then left, went, moved to Florida, and ended up working for a couple of outlets down there, and ended up going back to Fox and working remotely. And it wasn't until I was asked and required to move back, because this was pandemic, so keep that in mind, the fake pandemic. I was asked to move back to New York City, and I was promised on a call with a bunch of executives, one major executive telling me, yeah, well, make sure if there's a slot that opens up for Tucker Carlson that you will be one of his producers. And that obviously was like the golden standard. You want to be a producer for Tucker Carlson. And as a result of that, I was, until the day that I actually moved up there, I'm there with my movers and I'm sitting in my new apartment, which is a dumpster in New Jersey because, folks, New York is just so disgusting. So disgusting. And I'm in Jersey City moving into my apartment and I get this email that's forwarded to me. And the email is saying, hey, it's forwarded to me. So this was sent out previously. They never sent it to me until the day that I'm moving in my new place. And I taken the day off and it says, hey, you got to comply with the New York City vaccine mandate or else you're being put on unpaid leave. And I told the movers, don't even put the boxes down and just get out because I don't think I'm staying here. Then a couple of days later, I get on a call with one executive and got a little emotional, but I said, I'm not budging. I'm not getting vaccinated and I'm not going to. And they're like, just apply for an exemption. I'm not going to apply for an exemption. And because of that, they then stacked me up with an additional daily news show, which is unheard of to have three shows on one producer's plate. Unheard of. The goal here, without giving me a raise, was to push me out because I was not compliant with the New York City vaccine mandate. I even said, hey, listen, I'm going to hire an attorney and sue New York City over this. And they asked me, this one person asked me, please just don't do that, Brianna. Just apply for the exemption. We'll get you on air. And I didn't do it. And as a result of all of that, it put me in about $20,000 worth of debt because I had to move back to Florida. Fox had actually threatened to come after me for the $5,000 relocation fee. And long and behold, here you have me. Now, what were the results of that? Well, Fox, once they found out that I was on a network with my own independent show, they purchased that network, and then they canceled my show. I got canned. Fox hates me. That's just another reason why, I'm very passionate about going after the corporate media because they are all full of garbage. They are lying to the American people, like you heard Dan Ball tell you. Dan Ball, also another corporate media reject, as I like to call it. And we appreciate platforms like InfoWars who allow me to come over here all the time and to speak the truth every single day. And we're not taking any big pharma money. All right, folks, buckle up. Mel Kay is joining me in just seconds. We got a lot to discuss with her. Also, Joe Pags joining the show. And he's working on a lot, and he's going to break down the very latest for you in just a moment. So buckle up. We got more to discuss in a second.
We've got to get to a point where we are self-sufficient again, Texas. And when it comes to health, also food, our food needs to be clean, number one. It just needs to be clean. And
Florida has pointed out, put that back on screen, all these major brands have got hundreds of times the glyphosate you should have.
Glyphosate.
Absolutely. Well, your doctor tells us what that does.
Oh, this is gonna change your brain. This is going to set you up.
It erases your blood-brain barrier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really an accelerant or an adjuvant. Absolutely. Everything in there. Explain that.
It destroys the blood-brain barrier. So that's a protective thing that happens between the cerebral spinal fluid and your fluids inside the brain and the things that attack it from the outside. Once that barrier is depleted, then it's subject to all kinds of heavy metals, things that get sprayed from the sky, right? Barium, aluminum, all these things that it protects you from. Why methylene blue works. It does. It counters that. It's
counter. Oh, let me ask you that. 45 minutes in, you feel it, Doc?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Be honest, though. You got your own special brand. Is this good or what?
No, this is the same effect I'm getting, but it feels right. Yeah, it feels right. Yeah, it's a little easier to take. Yeah.
By easier, what do you mean? Compared
just
to
the way it feels, just going down, drinking it. But it's.
So this one tastes better, but it's as good as the one your doctor gave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So your doctor must have a good one.
We'll see. We'll go down the road a little ways. I'll text you.
Guys, get him a couple bottles of this. I need Doc Chambers endorsing this.
I'm not getting it for free, but I'll definitely help.
No, you're getting it down. Come on. Free your it's amazing.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at TheAlexShowStore.com.
Unlimited power!
Volunteer power!
leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones